You left off in the middle of one, I guess we call one of the most chassis topics around. That's the issue of Tachfei Tevei, B'Safek Mamun, or we call Tachfei Koyin, or we call Tfisa Lachshon on a Safek, no matter how you, whatever what you call it, it's all the same topic. Namely, when we have a Safek in Mamunus, so we all know we pass Ken Amotz and Mechaber Levariah, so the Bezim leaves things the way it is, whoever's holding on to it gets to keep it. What if the other fellow goes there and he grabs it? So we know that he grabbed it, we saw him grab it. So do we turn around and say, okay, so now you are the Mukhsuk, and the other person, the original person, is the Motzvich of Araya, and Tfis al-Akhshal and Asafik will work? Or do we say, no, Tfis al-Akhshal and Asafik is meaningless in Halacha, and therefore we give it back to the original owner, the original Mukhsuk. So how in the world do we get onto this topic? Because the Ran and Masechet Kedushin related this topic to the issue of Safek Kedushin. Ran said that whenever you have a case of a Safek Kedushin, we're not sure what the din is, but if the woman is Mekudesh Shadam, so the Ran says, no problem, just follow the Chazakah. Whatever the status quo was, Minatorah, she's okay. Any requirements of Gittin in case of Safek Kedushin are all Chumers Midirabad. Minatorah, you follow the Chazakah. So the Ran was trying to show you just how powerful Chazakah is. So he gave you a mashal. He said, in Dinim Hominis, we so consider the Chazakah, we so consider the original status so powerful that even in a case of a Safek in Halacha, and even if the other party grabs it, we're going to take it away from him. By a case of a Teku, we're going to be Motzi Min HaTofes. So the Ran, just as we're Motzi Min HaTofes by a case of a Teku, so too we follow Chazakah in the case of Kedushin. Now, we were very startled by the Ran because, first of all, he's mixing and matching Isurim and Mamunis, and he's mixing together Muksok with Chazakas, and he's mixing together Sfekas and Din. All kind, there are a lot of things that are flying around in this Ran. But before we get to understand the depth of what the Ran is driving at, we had to take a step back. It's a long step back, but just to make sure that we get all the facts right, to make sure what the Ran is presenting to us is in fact true. That in effect, what the Ran is saying is that Tfisa, Yachas, Shalom, Safek does not work. So we have to know, is that really true or not? So we started off by learning the Gemara of Metzia Davav. The Gemara pretty much told it to us. The Gemara was talking about a case of Safek Bechor, and there's a mumminous issue involved because the Kohen is entitled to the monetary value of the Bechor, and the based in Paskin that, well, it's a Motzah Bechor, right? We don't know whether it's a Bechor or not. So we let the Yisrael keep the animal, and then the Kohen bowls over the Yisrael and grabs it out of his hands. So the Gemara said pretty clearly that Motzia Miyado. So Motzia Miyado, that's another way of saying Tfisa Liachshon, something doesn't work. So we were fairly comfortable with the Gemara of Metzia Davav as the source that Tfisa, in fact, does not work. Problem is that there's a Gemara in Ksubis, a very, very difficult Gemara, that seems to point in the other direction, just to reacquaint ourselves with that suga in Ksubis for a moment. The Gemara was talking about a situation where we have a shtar. I have a shtar against you. The shtar says you owe me $100. And now we're having some question about the legitimacy of the shtar. On the one hand, the shtar is signed, and we have every reason to believe that the shtar is acceptable. The problem is that there are two Eidim who are saying that, yes, the signatures are legitimate, but they had no right to sign the shtar. It means, yes, it's not a forgery of a shtar. It's just that the Eidim who signed the shtar shouldn't have been doing that because they were under bar mitzvah, they were rishoyim, they were krovim, they were forced, whatever the case may be. So that's tantamount to say the shtar is no good. So the Gemara called that a trey u'trey. The Gemara says, well, now we have two Eidim who are saying it is good and two Eidim who are saying it's no good. The two Eidim who are saying it is good are the Eidim of the shtar themselves. They're testifying on the fact that Reuven does owe Shimon the money. The problem is there are two other Eidim who are countering what they're saying by saying you had no right to testify. So what do we do? So Rav Nachman said, Uki treyla de trey v'kimon b'cheses mara. You follow Mukhsuk. Like any other suffix moment, you follow Mukhsuk. The problem is the Gemara said that even though you follow Mukhsuk, but we don't totally disqualify the shtar. We let the shtar hang around a little bit. What does that mean, we let the shtar hang around, even though we're not going to actually use it? So Rashi and Subas threw us off, because Rashi said, if you take a look, we can take a look back at the fifth of the Rambam Kol Muskot, it's all revolving around Rashi. So Rashi says, in the second line, El Delo Karin Alei, in the middle of the line, we don't rip up the shtar. V'itofis Rashi says that in the case of a Safek where the shtar is valid, if the party grabs the money that he thinks is coming to him, so then we are going to let him hold on to it. We're not going to take him away from him. So this Rashi is a serious problem, because Rashi is presenting the other side of the story. Rashi is presuming that Tfisa Liyach HaShon HaSofi is going to be valid. So how do you resolve this Rashi with the Sugi Maseches Bava Metzia? So in the Shurim on Friday, so we pointed out, quoted Tosus. Tosus said two different ways to resolve this apparent contradiction. So we take a look back at the sixth of the Maamar Kamos for a moment. So it's three lines into the Tosus, right after the three dots. V'yesh Lomar, says Tosus in the sixth of the Maamar Kamos, the Shani Gavi Bechor, Shehakoin Tofes Bisofek, Te'en Yodei Im Bechoru. In the case of the Sufik Bechor, the coin doesn't even know whether it's a Bechor. He wasn't in the barn. He has no idea whether the animal was first born or not. So his old tefisa is being done as a Sufik. Whereas over here, I'm telling you, the guy owes me $100. I'm telling you, I lent him $100. The fact that you based and don't know what the facts, that's your problem. But from my vantage point, I know for a fact that he owes me $100. So Tosus just told us a tremendous chiddush. Tosus just told us that the answer to our question, does Tfisa Liyach HaShon HaSofek work or not? The answer is, one big, it depends. It depends what type of a claim I am advancing when I'm doing this Tfisa. If I'm being toe-face with a Tainas Bari, that I'm saying with certainty he owes me the money, then Tfisa works. If I'm being toe-face with a Tainas Sofek, then Tfisa does not work. That's Tosus' first distinction between the two cases. Then Tosus gives another answer. Tosus writes, for Odi Shlomo, back to that Tosfos the sixth in Rambam Kamos, and the next line, the Odi Shlomo, the Alchamayri Kishatofas Kodem Shilud HaSofek. Says Tosfos, the Tfisa predated the Sofek. Means first Beis thought that Reuven does owe the money, and they were about to tell Reuven to pay up, and Shimon went ahead and grabs the money, and then the other Edom come in and question the validity of the Shtar. So yes, there's a Tfisa, and yes, there's a Sofek, but the order is opposite. It's not Tfisa Le'acha Shalona Sofek, it's Tfisa Kedem Shalona Sofek. Now, in the end of the day, all the information is the same. We have a Tfisa, we have a Sofek, and we're still not sure what to do. But Tosfos says it makes all the difference in the world whether the Tfisa was done prior to the Lettuce of Sofek or afterwards. So this is really a very difficult Tosfos, because Tosfos is really walking a tightrope here. If you want to tell me that Tfisa works after the Lettuce of Sofek, you can tell me anything. If you want to tell me Tfisa doesn't work, makabel that also. As we've said many, many times, both in learning and in life, when you take extreme positions on things, they're usually very logical. They're usually very, very, self-contained. You can explain away very radical positions. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're right, but they're usually very simple to explain. You have somebody all the way on the right on a particular topic, so it's usually not contradictory. He's very consistent. He holds such and such. Person's all the way on the left. It's also usually not self-contradictory. But again, not necessarily either of those positions, the correct one. Whenever you walk middle ground, whenever you try to take parts, well, sometimes the guy on the right is right, and sometimes the guy on the left is right, sometimes Tfisa works, and sometimes he doesn't. Whenever you say that magic word in halacha, it depends. So then, I wouldn't say you're asking for trouble, literally, but you're asking for a lot of an explanation. You have to explain to me now, well, why does it depend? What is the significance of those factors? Why is it that whether the person is towing a tainus bari, that changes the world? Why is it whether the Tfisa predated the Sufik or post after the Sufik? Why does it make any difference whatsoever? So we began to discuss, to explain what Tosfos is based on. We ran out of time last week. But we raised the Chakira. We raised the question, what exactly is that problem with Tfisa? Why is Tfisa not acceptable? So we said there are really two ways of understanding what the deficiency with Tfisa is. One way of understanding the problem with Tfisa is that the halacha doesn't recognize the wild, wild west, a lawless society. It means everyone's going to start grabbing things from other people. It's a tefisa be'isser. It's a tefisa, it's a god. You're a god. If you're a goslin, you have no right to do what you're doing. So the Torah just says, whatever you did is just command alesa. It doesn't register on our radar screen at all. And therefore, it's as if it didn't happen. It's as if it doesn't happen. We go back to the original psak of Amotz Mechavel of Araya. Well, maybe I should say no. Tfisa is not nothing. The Torah does recognize there is a concept of Tfisa. We find Tfisa in other cases. We gave some examples on Friday. Knas, Kibbutz, we gave a few examples where Tfisa is valid in halacha. It could be that Tfisa is a valid mechanism in halacha. The only problem is that it's valid up to a point. Namely, it's strong up to a point. It is a way of passing shilas. On the other hand, Muchsuch, the original Muchsuch, is a more powerful way. It means a person who was a muhsuk without having to grab, a person who was a muhsuk just in front of us, he was muhsuk, is considered to be a greater strength in halacha than the person who merely became a muhsuk al yaday, this half-baked muhsukos, which came about through the process of tefisa. So according to the first understanding, we're totally ignoring tefisa is kamandalay, so tefisa doesn't exist. According to the second understanding, tefisa exists, it means something, it does register on our radar screen of ways to pasken shailas, but it's not as significant as an actual muhsuk without the vehicle of tefisa. So my left can be between the two. So the Chora, one would have thought that if you go down the first route, so you're really minimizing the significance of Tefisa. You know, a little bit counterintuitive, we're going to say. One would have thought that Kol Zman that we're focusing on Tefisa being the wild, wild west, it's lawless society, that's not how Torah runs, so then we should just ignore it completely and totally. Not necessarily. Why? What is it about Tefisa that makes it so lawless? What is it about Tefisa that makes it like you're a god, like you're just beating people up just like that? You know, might makes right. What is it about Tefisa that's so problematic? What's problematic about Tefisa is that you yourself don't even know that you're entitled to the object. You have no idea whether this is a bechor or not. You have no idea whether the person actually owes you the money, and you're still going to take it. Like mechatei say. We call that gnev in our books. That unless you know that you're entitled to money, like mechatez, you can go and beat the guy up and take his money away. So that's what Tosfos is saying. Kolzman, that the tefisa is being done derech safek. So we say a tefisa done derech safek is nishkin tefisa. That's nothing, because the Torah can't address something that's done be'isser. But a tefisa that's done with a straight face, a tefisa that's done, like in Ksuba stuff, you test with a fellow, says, listen, Beis Din, I know you're in the dark. I'm sorry that you don't have access to all the information, but I'm telling you the guy owes me the money. So Lefi Divrei HaTofes, he's not doing anything wrong. Lefi Divrei HaTofes, he is entitled to the money. Now again, is this the nicest thing? Do we want to encourage this kind of activity where the bigger people beating up the smaller people? Maybe not.
Wasn't that an extension of Koldal Gvar?
Koldal Gvar is invoked when there is no Pesach Beis Din. So Beis Din says, we can't apply Muxuk. There is no Muxuk in case of Koldal Gvar, for whatever technical reasons. So therefore, we throw our hands up and say, so do whatever you want, in effect. Called the Olam Gvar. Over here, we issue a Pesach. We have a Pesach. There's a clear-cut Pesach called Tefisa. Now the question is, can the other fellow undo that Pesach by having a subsequent different kind of Tefisa? So it's not called the Olam Gvar.
So help me understand. But basically, is this based on saying something different but asking for the same result?
No, but Kol Dilon Gvar, according to many Rishonim, is radically different than Muchsach. Kol Dilon Gvar means, Beis Din says, we cannot pasuk in this case because there's nothing for us to go on. We have no Eidim, we have no Rose, we have no Chazachos, we have no Muchsach, we have nothing.
We're doing that here.
No. We issued a Pesach. Our Pesach was, Hamotzi Mechavel V'raya. We're saying that we are hereby allocating the money to Reuven, because Reuven is the Muchsach on the property. Now when Shimon goes ahead and undoes that, he becomes the muchzuk, and now the question becomes, now we turn around a psach, we give psach number two. Psach number two is, we hereby allocate the money to Shimon, because he's the muchzuk. And when Reuven beats him up, we give back. It's not, at the end of the day, you know, if you're looking at it from the financial model, the money ends up in the same place. But halachically, it's very, very different. Halachically, it's a legamri different picture. So if one focuses on the almost the isishimbo of tefisa, the tefisa was done shalo kedin, so then easy come, easy go. If the tefisa was done shalo kedin, then it's not going to register. If the tefisa is done kedin, then it's going to register. And how serious is it going to register? It's going to register to the point where it's going to carry the day. Because at the end of the day, tefisa is a new muhsa. If and when tefisa is done beheter, you have to work very hard to get a tefisa beheter, but if and when you can create tefisa beheter, then tefisa beheter is a valid way of pasketing shailas, and forget, it's more valid than the original muhsuk, because the original muhsuk was muhsuk then, but he's not muhsuk anymore. I can't pasken shailas about what happened last month. Right now, Shimon is a muhsuk. Yesterday, Reuven was a muhsuk. That was yesterday. Today is today. So since Shimon is now the muhsuk, Kol's man that Shimon tefisa was a valid tefisa, was a legitimate type of a tefisa, we're going to turn around and say, well, he becomes a muhsuk. So what factors can create the permissibility, so to speak, for Shimon to be machzik? What what differentiates between the wild, wild west and a valid halachic tfisa. So that's what Tosa is searching for. So one of the considerations Tosa says is, well, did you have a Tanis Bari or a Tanis Sofek? If Shimon had a Tanis Bari, then Lefi Devarav, he was entitled to be Teifes. If Shimon only had a Tanis Sofek, then we say to him, Lefi Devarecha, you're 50% Gazlan, you had no right to take the money, so therefore we take it away from you, it doesn't register what you did. The Eidia Shloim Teisa said that if you were Teifes, Kodem Shinol and HaSofek, it means you had every right to be Teifes. Bezdin already Paskin, you win the case. So, right now, Bashehu Sham, you had a permissibility to be Teifes. I mean, again, is it a nice thing, a good thing, a bad thing, ethical thing? That's a different story. But in terms of pure Dini Mamonis, you had 100% rights to this Mamon because we just paskin that you are the owner of the Mamon. The fact that things get thrown off later, now 10 minutes after your Teifes, another set of Edim come in and throw off the whole story and create a latest Asafek, you can't blame the Teifes. The Teifes was Teifes B'Shas Heter. So the two answers of Tosfos are addressing the same issue. They're trying to create almost a Heter of Tfisa. They're going down two different routes. One is a Heter of Tfisa because he has a Titus Bari. The other, the Eidish Leimer, is a Heter of Tfisa because it's Kodim Shalom and Asafik. As long as we can overcome that obstacle of creating a Tfisa B'Heter, then that Tfisa B'Heter will overcome, will be stronger than the original Muxer. Masha'imkein, any Rishon who's not going to go down these routes of Taisus, as Taisus themselves are going to quote other answers that are not going to go down these routes. If you don't want to go down these routes of Taisus, the reason why perhaps you don't want to is because your underlying reason why Tfisa was not valid in the first place was not because it wasn't valid, not because Tfisa didn't register. It registered. It was clearly registered on Bezin's radar screen, but it lost to the original Muxok. So it doesn't matter whether the Tfisa is done by Issa, whether it's done by Heter, whether it's done by the Tanis Bari, whether it's done by Kalan or something. At the end of the day, Muxok is greater than Tfisa. So the Tfisa always registered. It's not that Tfisa didn't exist. The Tfisa was always Kiman to Issa, and it still lost out to a Muxok. So whatever considerations you want to add to it, you want to make it the Heter, you want to make it Kamshal or Suffolk, you want to make it with a Tanis Bari, do whatever you want to it. At the end of the day, it's not Muxok. Muxok is not derech tfisa. Tfisa is muxok derech tfisa, and one beats out the other. So maybe these 2 days and those are touching upon this fundamental potential issue as to what the chisaron of tfisa is. But notwithstanding these 2 days and those, there is another opinion in Tosfos that's quoted in the 7th of the Rambam Hamikamos, where Tosfos in Bav Metzia asks the identical question as Tosfos in Ksubis. We can take a look at the 7th of the Hamikamos. Potu Emonu Mamon Kohen, that's what the Gemara Bav Metzia that Vav said, that Tfisa doesn't work. V'cheinu Maskana Dim Tachva Kohen Metzia Miyado. That is the Maskana Se Gemara in Bav Metzia. V'hadi Amina V'agdeiz Di Ksubis Shnayim Achasumen Al Ashtar back to the case of Ksubas. Umasek, and the Gemara concludes, look at Trey by the Trey. Uki Ramon Vecheskis Marei. We follow Muxok. The Einemonim, the Ka'amar, Pirish Rashim, the Tophas, the Mavalim of Kirin Rinei. So Tosas just presented the Kasha. So first, Tosas falls back to some of the things that they said in Pesachus Ksubas. So Achloma, Shetophas, Kodim Shemo Edom, Lifsal Ashtar, that a Kom Shalon Asafik. So here in Tosas and Bamitsia, only quotes one of the answers that they gave in Maseches Ksubis, the difference between Kodem and Achar. But now the Oidei Shlomo says Tosfos, the Ein Emanim de lo mekarinan lei velo magbinan bei velo linin tfisa. Tosfos says we totally misunderstood what the Gemara in Ksubis said. When the Gemara in Ksubis says when we have a suffix, we have a tray, whether the shtar is good or not. So we thought that the Gemara was saying we're going to enable Tfisa, we're going to let the fellow hold on to the shtar to enable Tfisa. Says Tosfos, nothing doing. No, but who said Tfisa? Who is responsible for saying in Ksubis that Tfisa works? You know who's responsible? Rashi. Our grandfather says Tosfos. Delta Zayda was the one who said that Tfisa works. But the Gemara never said a word, never said boo about Tfisa. So what did the Gemara mean that we keep the shtar around? Says Tosfos that we don't insist on ripping it up. It means the Beis then turns to the Baal Shtar and says, listen, normally, if we catch you with a forged document, we're going to insist you, we're going to shred it, we're going to rip it to pieces. We don't want people walking around with forged documents. Here we say to them, listen, we're not ripping your shtar up. You know why? Because in the heart of hearts, we're not so sure that it's no good. Right now, our hands are tied. Right now, we cannot enforce anything. We cannot enforce the document because we have Edom contradicting it. So we're going to have to leave things in limbo. if and when down the line it's possible that we may be able to disprove, to show that the Edom were disqualified, the Shtar themselves may be apostle. So in the future we may be able to bring the Shtar back to life. Therefore, we're not going to rip it up right now, but we're not going to use it. Not only are we not going to use it, you better not try to use it. Not only you better not try to use it, don't think you're going to be smart aleck and be tayface, and we're going to let you hide behind tefisa. No, because I ain't b'metziyah davav, when we paskin tefisa l'achshon and something doesn't work. So unlike Rashi, who said that from the fact that Beis Din is leaving the shtar in the hands of the malveh, that's tantamount to accepting the possibility of tefisa, says Tosfos Chas V'Shalom, we're not, nobody accepted tefisa. B'metziyah davav says tefisa l'achshon and something never works. It doesn't work with a Titus Bari. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Tfisa doesn't work. End of story. What does it mean? We're going to let you hold on to the shtar. It just means we're not going to rip it up. To be determined later. But we're going to make a mark in our Beis Din records. Don't ever collect money from this fellow unless we've absolutely proven 100% that he's entitled to the money. So here we have three different approaches in all the different Balei HaTosfos who are all challenged with the same question. When does tfisa work? When does it not work? So the last Dantos that we just saw concludes tefisa never works. According to the first of Dantos and Tosfos, tefisa most of the time doesn't work unless we can figure out a way to do it behefter, either through Kodem Shalom HaSafek or through a Titus Bari. But now we move on to a fourth answer in the Rishonim to this Kasha, which is going to eventually, there's a little time till we get there still, I told you we have a few more steps to go, but this next answer in the Rishonim is going to set the stage for having a much, much clearer understanding of where the Ran is coming from, which is, again, our entire goal, but we have to understand the answer in and of itself first. So in the 8th in the Ramakamas, the Ramban in Bav Metziah tackles the same question as Tosfos and gives an entirely different answer. Aval Yeshloimah says the Ramban, "Dechol treu trei lo amrinan uki mamona becheskes demarakama elamande tofas tofas b'metaltale." Says the Ramban, the reason why sometimes we accept tefisa and sometimes we don't is based on the nature of the type of suffix that we're dealing with. When we're dealing with just what we call a plain and simple, you know, so to speak, 50-50 suffix, we don't know whether this Bechor is a Bechor or not, which is tantamount to say we don't really know whether the Kohen is entitled to the mumminess of this animal. A suffix of that nature, a suffix whether it was born first or not, that's a type of a suffix where we have to paskin Hamotzi Mechavel of Araya, and we have to paskin it to such an extent that we're not going to accept Tefisa. And if Tefisa takes place, the Achashinola, that type of a suffix, we're going to make the person give the money back. That's what it says in Bav Metziah. What's going on in Ksubis? Ksubis is a different type of a suffix. What created the suffix in Ksubis in the first place? We have a tray in front of us. We have a contradiction of Edim. Two Edim are saying Reuven owes the money. Those that Edim were signed on the shtar. Two Edim are saying Reuven doesn't owe the money because the second set of Edom is saying the original set of Edom weren't valid Edom. They weren't justified to testify. So we have Beis Din as a suffix. Now, from the statistician point of view, we'll call it the same 50-50 suffix. Beis Din still throws their hands up. They have no idea what to do. But, says the Ramban, there's a different type of a suffix. Conceptually, it's a different type of a suffix. A suffix of a suffix, do we know whether it's the firstborn or not? We have nobody telling us anything. We have no clue what to go on. We just have no idea what happened in the barn. That's one kind of a suffix. A suffix where we have a contradiction between two sets of Edom, that's legamre, a different type of a ball game. And therefore, it's nice to say it's a different type of a suffix, and therefore, wow, why does that make a difference? So comes the Ramban and says, whenever you have a suffix of trey utrei, then tfisa is going to be valid. For what reason? What is it about the nature of trey utrei that enables tefisa to work? So the Ramban continues. So the Ramban, the end of the first line, the 8th of the Rebbe Kamas, the sveika di araisa hi, the chol sveika di araisa, filo gabi isure nami lo amirino chmirina chesoko, ke tefisha bekedusha breko oimer. In this 1.5 lines, the Ramban made reference to a major, major topic in Shas, and he made reference to his very mechudishdik way of understanding the Maskana Se Gemara. In Mamash, in 12 words, he referenced an entire world. So we'll backtrack for a minute and try to get a little bit of a better understanding where the Ramban is coming from. There is a Gemara in the third parak of Maseches Yevamos. The Ramban, he didn't even say Ayin Yevamos. He just said the words Tzveke Deraisi, assuming we would figure out that's where he's leading. He's like writing so quickly. He's assuming Ayin Yevamos, third parak. So what the Ramban means is this file. He does tell you to reference Kedushin Samuk Vav, which in turn references Yavamas in the third pack. The Gemara Yavamas in the third pack has the following Shaila. Whenever you have a suffix of Trey Utrey, forget about Mominus, in the realm of Isurim, you have a suffix of Trey Utrey. Two Adam say the woman is muteris, two women say she's asura, two women say the food's kosher, two Adam say the food is not kosher. You have a suffix of Trey. So we know that one of the rules that we use to paskin shailas in Sfeikas is the rule of chazaka. Chazaka mekar, whatever the status quo was. In fact, the source for that did, we spoke about in the past, is, believe it or not, this week's Pasha, the Pasha of the Torah, because the Torah speaks about nige batim, that the house has a nega on it. How does the Kohen know the house has a nega? So it says, the Kohen goes, he looks at the house and he sees, so lo and behold, it's a nega teras. It has the color that's a nega teras, it has the right size, there's a shear, it has to be a certain size to be a nega teras. And then the Torah says, v'yotza Kohen min habayis. The Kohen goes out of the house, v'hizkir z'bayis. Then he declares that the house has a nega teras to it. Why does he have to go outside the house? Because if he says it when he's inside the house, then he becomes tummy. It only becomes tummy once he starts to talk. So the Kohen goes outside the house. The Gemara Chulin asks the Kasha. He's outside the house already. How does he know the nega is the same size? Maybe the nega shrunk in the last 10 seconds. How do you know? Well, he's Skyping inside the house. How do you know? So the Gemara first tries to say, he's looking through the windows, goes, hey, forget it. He has no idea what it's saying. Tachas, he doesn't really know. So how does he have a right to paskin based on what happened 5 minutes ago? Says the Gemara, you see from here, yes, you could paskin based on what happened 5 minutes ago. That even though right now there's a latest asafek, whether it's the same size, whether it's a nega tamei or not, he could still paskin based on the chazaka meikara. And the Gemara says, from here we derive, we paskin shalos and hilchus tumavatara based on this, and based on hilchus kashrus based on this, based on hilchus ishus. There is a principle of derais, and menah milsa the amravan alzinibas chazaka. This is the source for the din derais, appears throughout Mishnayos. This is the source for the din derais of yefalo chazaka. So comes the Gemara in Yevamos in the third breath and raises a red flag about this. The Gemara says, what's the din? Can you follow Chazaka when you have a Trey Utrey? When you have a Suffolk that's a very unique type of a Suffolk, two Eidim are saying one way, and two Eidim are saying another way. So maybe that's a different kind of a Suffolk. Why that should be, we'll have to see a little bit more later in the week. But whenever you have a Suffolk that's a Trey Utrey, maybe the rules change. Maybe Trey Utrey, what the Gemara coins a phrase, Trey Utrey Sfeika D'Araisa. That's what the Ramban is referring to. Trey Utrey Sfeika D'Araisa means that whenever you have a Trey Utrey, blipe the Suffolk, it remains a Suffolk, it's a Suffolk Min HaTorah, Bein L'Kul Bein L'Chumrah, whatever area of Halacha you're dealing with, it remains a Suffolk, and you have to treat it like a Suffolk, and you have to ignore Chazava. That's the phraseology, Trey Utrey Sfeika D'Araisa. The Gemara quotes another opinion that says, Trey Utrey Sfeika D'Rabbanan. What that means is that when you have a Trey Utrey, you do follow Chazaka. So it's not really a Suffolk anymore, Min HaTorah. Maybe Mid D'Rabbanan, L'Chumrah, maybe we'll treat it as a Suffolk. But Mid D'Araisa, you do follow Chazaka. So the terminology is a little bit confusing, but the phrase Trey Utrey Sfeika D'Araisa means, when you have a Trey Utrey, you don't follow Chazaka. Trey Utrey Sfeika D'Rabbanan means, when you have a Trey Utrey, you do follow Chazaka. So the Ramban happens to paskin, like that opinion in the Gemara, that Trey Utrey Sfeika D'Araisa. So what that translates to mean is that whenever you have a Trey Utrey, you don't follow Chazaka in Isurim. You just ignore Chazaka because Parshas Metzorah gets put on hold. Whenever you have a Trey Utrey, why that should be, we still have work to do on that. But that's the Ramban Shita. So now the Ramban comes and makes a big jump. The Ramban says, just as in Isurim, when you have a Trey Utrey, the rules of Chazaka change, and you no longer follow Chazaka Meikara, Trey Utrey is a different type of something that doesn't lend itself to following Chazakas. So too in Mominus, which is exactly what's going on in Masechus Ksubas and Afiyates, when there's a suffix of Trey Utrey, the rules change. How do the rules change? That just as we didn't follow Chazaka and Isurim in Yevamos, so too we're not going to follow Mukhsuk, at least to some degree, in Masechus Ksubas. And that's going to open up the Pesach. That's going to set the stage for why the Dinim of Tefisa are going to be different. Now, we have a lot of pieces that are missing. Ramam is all of 12 words. We have a lot of pieces that are missing. We don't really understand why Trey Utrey doesn't lend itself to Chazaka. We're not quite sure we understand the jump from Isurim to Mominus. And we're not quite sure, even when we're in the realm of Mominus, what that means, that because it's a Trey Utrey, that prevents Tefisa. How does that happen exactly? I understand why it prevents Mukhsuk, but why does that throw into question the ability for Tefisa? So we have a lot of gaps in the words of the Ramban. We have a lot of work to do. But I guess we're beginning to present the basic structure of the teretz of the Ramban, which at the end of the day is going to be the key to the entire sugya. It's going to be this Ramban is going to set the stage for understanding where the Ran is coming from. This is going to be the background. So we want to make sure we understand this Ramban right. We always want to make sure we understand everyone right. But the Shittas HaTosfos, all the Torahs that we said and the Tosfos answers are important, but they're important for our purposes almost to contrast to the Ramban. Tosfos went down different routes in the sugya. The Ramban is paving a whole new ground in our sugya, so it's critical for us to understand the Ramban. Hopefully, tomorrow we'll spend a little more time in this Ramban. Once we understand what the Ramban is saying in Isurim, then we can begin to extrapolate the Vamanas and see how this Ramban is going to ultimately set the stage for understanding the Ran, which is eventually going to set the stage for understanding the whole sugya. So there are still a lot of eventualities down the line. I warned everybody it's a long sugya, but hopefully we'll plow through it.